entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We have moved our time slot from 11 to 1 to accommodate an entire morning of broadcasting of sports on the Tantalk family of stations, and that works out well because we moved On the Tee Florida, the golf show, to Thursdays from 5 to 7, expanded an hour, and we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our 19th hole clubhouse studios, where each and every Thursday we have interactive golf. We've got the league starting Monday. Come on down. I've got my A team here supporting me today with Joey and, of course, Gavin and my man David. And then, of course, Ben Botham on my right. And, you know, it says in our opening, get your head in the game. That's what we're talking about right now, is head in the game. This is a great conversation, one that people probably think, how in the heck they come up with that? Well, the intensity, the Scripps National Spelling Bee Championship has got to be off the charts. And this young man, Dev Shaw, is the national champion, and his father's down here, Duval, with us. And we're talking a little cricket. We're talking a little I can't believe you've never played croquet in your life. But this has been a great conversation. And so let's go back to you, Deb. And what was the coolest interview? You don't have to say Sports Connection. No, what was the coolest interview? This is probably the lowest one you've been on. What's the coolest interview or experience since you won that championship?
I will have to say this is really fun.
Because you're looking at that goofy old man at the end, and he keeps throwing things at you. Well, we like to have fun here, but we're looking forward to you.
The funnest experience was the Live with Mark and Kelly show.
I forgot you were on that show on Fox. I watched that. Were you guys in the audience?
Yes, we were on the side, not on the audience, but yes.
Oh, so you're at this size one.
The audience.
And so I bet they're married, I think. No, that couple, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was enjoyable. They're nice people.
Yeah. I think what was really funny was how my brother was in the audience, and he had to clap when the like clap sign said clap, and he had to laugh even though it was not funny.
I'm sure he let you know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I was forced to clap and laugh at you, and they really weren't that funny. That sounds like a big brother, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What was the most interesting, unique experience after winning?
Ringing the bell at NASDAQ.
Oh, you did. You were down at the stock exchange.
Closing bell.
The closing bell. How was the market that day? Was it up?
I don't know. I don't understand any of that.
Little up.
I knew Pop should know that. How cool was that? See, you've had some incredible experiences that will last a lifetime for memories, and I think you're going to have a lot more. So he rang the bell at NASDAQ, closing the day's session. You're on one of the most popular shows in the morning. How about at the local level when you came back? We should do a ticker tape parade right out front here in St. Pete. What do you think?
Hey, I think that's a great idea, Mike.
We'll get Fergs, and we have a ticker tape parade. We'll get the Largo kids here trying to recruit him back and have a lot of fun with that.
Probably this. This was the most cool, like, interesting experience. I've never been on a radio, like a radio show.
Well, this is a radio show. We reach 9 stations, and we're streaming on floridasportsstream.com, and we can archive it on Radio St. Pete. I sent you that information so that your buddies and your family and friends can listen to it. Yeah, you're welcome to come down, and if you have time, you guys can buy lunch downstairs before you leave, and we'd be very pleased. We'd like to get to We'll get some social media for you, and you can see this conversation. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys really coming down. And now I'm going to be forced, according to my girlfriend, your wife's going to become my doctor, because I've been negligent of going to the doctor. So I'll be coming to your mom. She'll get a patient out of this as well. All right, young man. Well, you got any other questions?
Yeah, I'm sure
you
do. Before you leave, do you have any tips for the two of us when it comes to spelling? Because my spelling's atrocious.
Mine's not atrocious, but my pronunciation, I talk too fast. He's probably got a lot of tips. I might need you as an advisor.
You shouldn't worry about spelling anymore, because I guess there's spell check now, so you can just rely on that. So.
You know what, though? That's kind of like, I like to pride myself, and I'm a plethora of unimportant information, sports and music. It's really not relevant to life, with the exception of entertainment. So I like to think that I have done my homework. He's a history. He's got a master's in history, and I can't stand Google. So when you're telling me spell check, I got the same attitude about spell check as I do Google. I get mad at myself when I'll type something in and I'll say, you spelled it wrong. And then I'm such a hardhead. I keep trying to spell it correctly instead of just hitting spell check and it pops up. But you're right. Your generation, you are unique. They've got spell check. They've got Google. What happened to the days when we had to do hard, in-depth research, though?
We have to actually do the research, right? You have to study. I mean, when I studied...
Turn your mic around, my friend. There you go. Perfect.
When I studied the words and all that, I used to open, like, the big dictionary, just read and write,
Oh, my gosh.
And paper.
I think I had to do that, too. I did in-depth research, too.
Well, of course you did. But I think your pops... process, and I did it, you know, obviously I'm much older, but when you look it up, read it, and then write it down, don't you think that helps you retain it better? Because you've got that two-step process?
Yeah, actually, I kind of lied. I kind of used, like, an online application. I didn't really use, like, more books, so I would actually just type the word.
Well, that's your generation, man.
Just type, whereas I was like huge dictionary and open it, and it is like on page number like 871 or something, and you read it with like small letters. And
I was moving the other day, and I found my grandmother's dictionary. She was a journalist. Uh-huh. And my girlfriend's helping me, and Terry's getting ready. You don't want this, do you? I'm like, I said, give me that dictionary. You know how many decades of research over the years that, you know, that's near and dear to my heart. And you got fond memories, right? Yeah, you're going to be in a generation of AI. Hopefully you can get master it. Your father's very well aware of what that's going to do to the to our planet. Right. There's some positive things, but it's going to have to be harnessed. I'm certain of that. Yes. Hopefully for the right reasons. But I see it. Hopefully I'm on the planet. I can watch your life evolve, because you've got a future so bright, as an old song says, your future so bright, you got to wear shades. And young man, I appreciate you coming down and spending some time with us.
Thank you. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. All right. And then what's your favorite sport?
To play tennis, but to watch probably tennis. Only if it's a good match. So.
I love tennis. I watched the Wimbledon. I mean, I'm just riveted to see that 20-year-old Carlos Alvarez unseat the greatest. Was great. I'm an old guy, so I was pulling for the old guy. But I love watching tennis. And you know, the sports like that, the kids need to embrace, Ben, I think this is true, more sports at the high school level, that would swimming, tennis, golf, track and field. And the only reason I say these sports, because they're lifelong sports. You can play tennis to an old dinosaur like me, and that's the beauty of it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
What about baseball, Mike? You can always join a nice beer league softball.
Yeah, what'd you just say? Beer league softball. Do I have to have beer? And I don't drink anymore, but I can't play on the team.
But you might need the belly.
I don't want the belly either. All right, guys. Well, I'm glad you had a lot of fun here. I appreciate you taking time to bring him down. We were wondering if maybe because you're so bright, you could get your permit in the sixth grade, but I don't think the state of Florida would allow that, right?
No, they don't allow
it. And your wife probably wouldn't allow it right now.
Yes.
All right, young man. Enjoy. You guys go back to school. He said August 10th. Enjoy your last few weeks here. But when you get to school, you're going to have a blast because everybody's going to be applauding when he comes in.
Yes.
All right. You guys have a great weekend, and thank you for coming down.
Yes, thanks.
I'll reach out to you. All right. Let's switch gears. A week from today, it is a big event in the world of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We have got our first media day that we put on ourselves, and it's going to be downstairs from 10 till 3 o'clock. I'm just thanking the Shaw family for coming down and sharing their story. And brought to you by Body Armor, our good friends at the U.S. Marines, and we are partnering up with Dan Laporte and Josh Wilson, and it's 1 week from today. Downstairs, we're going to have 25 teams here from Pinellas County. I'm ecstatic about it, and I'll start out with you, Dan, since we haven't had you on in a while. How are you doing, my man? I'm looking forward to this upcoming week. We're all going to be, to the wall, and but it's all for a positive perspective on high school sports.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me back. And yeah, man, we're gearing up for football season already.
Can you believe that? I've been doing the countdown on my 2-minute sports update. It's 36 days now until the start of high school football in the state of Florida. And I know you guys are trying to get your arms around it. It's amazing how this state explodes with excitement, whether it's college or high school, and we're helping that with these media days. You've got one on Friday, which I'm going to be a part of, over at One Buck Place. Let's talk about the one in Hillsboro, and then we'll transition over to Josh and talk about our Pinellas County piece here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com has teamed up once again with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We've got about 34 programs coming into Raymond James Stadium on Friday. And all the media has been invited, and everything's been, set up. And it will be broadcast live on Quick Cut's YouTube channel. We're excited. Josh and I have a busy week this week. We've got Orlando, Central Florida on Monday and Tuesday with this whole area. And then we'll be heading over to the Tampa St. Pete for two great media days.
Hey, before I... my ADD kicks in. Who's this phenom quarterback now? I was watching Spectrum, and we've been getting more Central Florida stuff, which I like. I can watch that about 10:30, so I can stay a little bit on top of what you guys have going on over there. Who's this kid, this quarterback, who transferred to Jones? I guess he's one of the top quarterbacks in America.
Yeah, Trevor Jackson just transferred from West Orange to Jones. He'll be giving Jones Tigers a lot of senior leadership. And speaking of that, the connection is they actually host Tampa Jesuit Week 2 in Camping World Stadium. So that's going to be a big game to watch across the state of Florida.
Oh, I'm going to love that one. I'm close with the Jesuit community. I didn't know that. I guess the question, maybe a little off topic, is I just don't like that at the high school level when a kid, his senior year, can decide that he wants to, it's no different than what's taking place in the portal in collegiate football. But a kid can make a decision. He's going to jump over, and we see it all over the place these days, and play a senior year at another institution. That's just got to be brutal on the coaching staff, that have groomed him for 3 years.
Well, that's obviously something that hurts, I guess, the coaching staffs, but more importantly, I think it's the timing of it. There's certain realities as football fans that we have to come to grips with. One is, and whether you're talking college or high school, is your favorite player may not be on your team next year. And that's just a reality of what it is. And we can't, necessarily knock a particular sport. That's how the state of Florida is set up to allow kids or parents to move their kids to another school based on opportunity, and that has filtered into the sports world. And I've come to grips with it. Again, I think some of the timing of it, when you're looking at your depth chart and you're putting together an offensive and defensive game plan, and maybe that happens 2 to 3 weeks before spring or fall practice starts. And I think that's probably the most difficult part of that.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got Hillsboro on Friday. You've got, as he said, close to 30-plus teams in the Bucks. How did you develop this relationship with the Bucks? It's great to see them embracing high school right there in their backyard, Hillsboro County.
Yeah, and I think, you know, really the NFL programs across the state, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars have done a really good job, you know, hosting a high school media day the last few years. We reached out to the Bucks last year, and they were more than gracious to put that together and to sponsor it. And, you know, to have Bar 76 there on the east side of the stadium in Raymond James, it's a great big facility. And, you know, the kids really ate it up last year. You know, when you're able to give these high school kids a platform to learn. You know, a lot of these kids are going to end up at the college level, and they're going to be in front of media, probably a little bit more critical than what we're going to put them through. But, you know, we've got probably 15 to 20 media outlets that will be present. And it's going to be exciting. It's exciting for the kids to watch them develop their personal skills and just talk about their off season and what they anticipate for the 2023 season.
Well, I'll try to get about half that median number over here on Saturday, and I'll be happy, and so will Josh and Ferg and Ben and I and our entire team here. We want to share the wealth with everybody. I think that's the goal for all of us. I think you guys agree from a coverage perspective in 2023, everybody's sharing a little bit from their region and pulling it all together. I think that'll be a successful alliance, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, it's all about creating opportunity. And when you get great partners like Berg's and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to actually allow these things to take place in their facilities, there's a level of excitement for these kids. You know, they're looking forward to it. I've talked to a number of coaches. They're excited about coming. You know, every year is a brand new year. You can't look back on what you did last year. Everything resets here in about 2 weeks.
All right. Well, we better let Josh come into the conversation. He's got some house guests, and they're probably staring at him. Why do you got the phone up to you? You haven't said one word. Hey, Josh. thanks for taking time. I know you're busy with house guests, but we're up against it. It's exciting. I see we got a couple more commits last night, and we're getting there. It's going to be a great Saturday down here at Ferg's, starting at 10 o'clock, and we'll go to about 3. We've got, about 24 teams on the radar, and I think we'll be successful there. That'll be a lot of fun.
No, absolutely, and I had to reschedule my house guests, actually, for a couple of weeks, and there's some other things that popped up here. But absolutely, you know, and you know, they get the teams to, you know, they come in the Ferg's, you know, especially what Dan was just talking about with the Buccaneers the day before. Actually, it's going to be a busy week, you know, with media days, and I know there were some other media days that have gone on as well, or are scheduled to go on, and I can't get to every single one of them, but you know, try to make the most of what we can here, and you know, we'll be, you know, 1 week from the day, we'll be sitting there at Ferg's with everybody and all the teams from Pinellas County and getting them on, you know, 11-man football and from 8-man football. So, you know, it'll be a lot of fun there, you know, next Saturday.
Well, we got Coach Shanks in the mix, and you know, you and I talked about the 8-player game, and being from the Midwest, I've even been to 6-player games in Western Nebraska, fellas, and seen some of those players actually end up playing at the collegiate level. And there's been several that have actually made it to to wear the badge in several cases. But yeah, the 8-player, interesting. But I love the fact that we're going to include them in this event because they practice just as hard, fellas, if not harder than the big boys, and the coaches will work their tails off coaching. So another positive piece of what we're going to be doing.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to be a lot right there, and it's going to be, you know, especially since the Sunshine State Athletic Conference is growing 8-man league to 30 teams coming up for this year, and the 8-man football is gaining traction here in Florida. It's something that, you know, for schools that are, you know, they don't really have the, you know, the capabilities or don't have the numbers to fill the 11-man football. Hey, 8-man football, they can still play football. I know, the field dimensions are a little different, but the point scoring system is still the same. It's just, you just don't have as many linemen out there, you know, obviously, you know. But, hey, at the end of the day, you know, those kids are still playing football. And with the eight-man game growing, that's huge. And a few of the Pinellas teams will get the exposure. We'll have some from the Orlando area, the ones that we're doing for the on Monday and Tuesday as well. So, again, it's building these relationships and making sure that everybody gets the exposure that they can get, you know. And as we all know, everybody starts 0-0, you know, on the record, you know, when the season starts. It's what do you do and how do you play coming out of the gate, you know, is what determines your destiny going forward for the 11 weeks of the regular season, you know, with your 10 regular season games.
Hey, Dan, you know who I had on earlier in my show, and you guys both know the powerhouse that they are. I had the head soccer coach from St. Thomas Aquinas, of course, a perennial national power in many sports. And, you know, you look at programs like that regardless of the sport. And this state is jam-packed with powerhouse programs like that, you know, it's almost the haves and the have-nots when you start talking to guys like St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think, you know, when you start taking a look at how programs are put together, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, has one, and Josh, forgive me, because my head's rolling with so much we've been putting in data this week. They've won, what, 7 of the last 8 state championships in football?
It's somewhere in that neighborhood. It's minus the 1 year where Venice won it in the mix of everything. Yeah, it's like St. Thomas Aquinas is at least the, you know, has won a state championship in their classification every year in that mix. So I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas is, you know, has a total of 13 state championships, which is the most by any program in the state of Florida. They only got that title in the last couple of years after finally tying Bowles up about 2 years ago with when they hit the 11, because Bowles had dominated that record for so long with the great Corky Rogers, or the late Corky Rogers, I should say. But now, between what George Smith did at St. Thomas Aquinas, what Rocco Castillo, and now what Roger Harriott is doing, St. Thomas Aquinas is definitely has, you know, they you know, their name is stamping Florida football lord for forever.
Well, fellas, hopefully our names will be stamped in the future as a great team to cover the great sport of football in the state of Florida. I'm looking forward to us launching this alliance this coming week. We've got a lot to do this week. We're all going to be sleep deprived, but it'll be well worth it. So, Dan, I appreciate your efforts and helping us all get together. Josh, of course, we'll be talking all week as you work, and I'm looking forward to Hillsboro over at $1, and of course that's Friday, and then down here at Ferg's on Saturday, it's our dual media day combos back to back, and I'm looking forward to it, fellas. Go relax and enjoy a little Saturday, because you're going to be, you know, to the wall the rest of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be chaotic, but I think we're all going to enjoy this. I mean, like I said, when you see these kids come in and they are having that opportunity, you watch them grow a little bit, and when you can coach them up to get ready for these things, a lot of them have never been in this situation. But you know, Mike, thank you for your partnership and your friendship, Josh and I are so excited to work with you this week.
Well, let's rock and roll, fellas. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you both on Monday.
All right, take care.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get Randy Grimes. Randy Grimes, of course, former Tampa Bay Bucs center for 9 years. We will be talking to him. He is live from Texas. He's a birthday boy. You've talked to him before. He's the birthday boy. And then we've got Alex Reba going to talk baseball with you coming up. We'll throw Ray Kennedy into the conversation, and we'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Champa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, acts throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Quite the show. We talked to the Scripps spelling champion, and he was an interesting young man at the sixth grade, the national champion of spelling in the entire country, the world. And how about the love he gave us?
That was nice.
Asked him the most interesting. Really, he said the morning show on Fox. Megan and somebody. I don't watch that TV. And then he said, ringing the bell at the NASDAQ is
now. That's pretty cool.
The exchange, you know. Here he is. What is he? 14.
Yeah, that's
very common, right. Composed. I said, what's the most unique interview and the most enjoyable? And he said, probably this right now.
Hey,
and I didn't pay him.
Hey, I know, but hey, you can't beat Ferg Sports Bar and Grill here at the 19th hole clubhouse and studios, Mike. I mean. Look at this. We got the full swing golf course. Kids drinking a Body Armor. How can you be happier?
Well, I tell you what, he'll be happy when he gets back. He's got a new knee, and he just had a birthday. Randy Grimes is in his home state of Texas, where it's 104,000 degrees. But now that he knows we have these full swing simulators, I've got a little strategy. I want him against Barry Smith in the long drive contest sometime here when they both slow their schedules down. And he's kind enough to take some family time away and join us. My friend Randy Grimes, what's going on, brother? Happy belated birthday, you old bastard.
You're right. It is hot out here in Texas. Wow. It's hard to even catch your breath.
Well, you're getting soft. You're in these cool temperatures of Florida these days. You're getting soft with your Texas background. You were born in Tyler, right?
That's right. Yeah, Rose Capital of the World, Earl Campbell.
What's the temp? About 105?
I mean, I've been going back and forth between Austin and Houston, and yeah, anywhere from 110. And they say it feels like, and that's a job I wish I had, was the feels like guy. but they say it feels like 115.
Well, let's get a little. Well, I know the topic I really wanted to talk about. Of course, it your birthday. I'm sure you had a great time.
Surrounded by your friends. Yeah, I thought you were going to sing to me, man.
Well, I was getting ready to, but then I was given a warning by the studio that they would kick me off the airwaves.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it would have been brutal, my man.
Yeah, that would have ruined my day, man.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about when you take a look at your time at Baylor and here in Tampa Bay, you weren't exactly up in Green Bay or Minnesota where it might have been a little easier at summer camp. But talk about back in your day. I mean, you didn't have Gatorade. You didn't have all these concerns over, you know, people dropping like flies. Barry tells some unbelievable stories about John McKay in those days. Let's start off at Baylor and then to the pro ranks on surviving summer training.
Well, Baylor was hot. I mean, being in Waco, right there in Central Texas, being on the turf every day. We didn't have a grass field to practice on, so we were out on the turf every day. And, you know, it's even hotter out there. But, you know, it's you know what you're getting into. Back then, the mentality was, you know, not a lot of water breaks, make guys suffer, make them get in shape by not giving them water, which was, you know, just absolutely ridiculous. And of course, coming out to Tampa wasn't a lot better, you know, because we were on that at the old One Buck place, which was at the corner, that corner property there on the airport. So not only did we have the heat to deal with, but we had all those jet fumes from planes taking off all the time that we had to breathe. And, you know, being out there in pads, and even that was still the same mentality with the coaches then, was limited water breaks, you know, constantly moving. And, you know, we struggled to keep weight on, you know. And you know, I talk about it all the time, how the coaching mentality back then was, you know, where we beat the hell out of each other pretty much every practice. You know, if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play hard. And that was the coaching mentality. And there's a lot of injuries during training camp. And a lot of it was because people were tired. People were wore out. People were exhausted from the heat, lack of water. And especially when Perkins got there and we started those 3-a-days, you know, we didn't even have enough time to wash our clothes in between practices. Our practice gear, because
oh my God, you guys had Ray Perkins. Ray Perkins, yeah, came over with that mentality from Alabama and Paul Bear Bryant, and that was borderline abuse.
Yeah, well, a lot of people would have said that it was abuse, but yeah, he brought that Bear Bryant mentality, that Junction Boy mentality, and I know you've heard the stories about the Junction Boys here in Texas.
People
and Bear Bryant.
People died out there.
They were dying. They were calling cabs to come pick them up off the practice field and take them home to mama.
Freaking horrible, man. Yeah. Unbelievable. What are you whining about? Remember they used to give us salt tablets.
Yeah.
That was your answer. Take your salt tablets and drink
some cold
water.
They'd have those salt pills right next to the door, and you'd take a handful of them. Like, that was really going to help you, you know?
Nasty-ass salt tablets. And you're throwing them down like they're candy so you don't drop, man. Oh, my God. So let's talk about the book. Let's do a little plug for the book since I can't. You're too busy. I can't get you down here to Ferg's. We got the perfect
to
have a book signing upstairs. We converted it to a clubhouse. You haven't seen it lately, but we'll do the book signing up here. Maybe we'll do it right before a preseason game in August if you can fit us in, brother.
Oh, I'd love to. And the book is doing really good. It's called Off Center, for those who hadn't heard about it. The foreword for the book was written by Coach Dicka. Coach Dicka has been a huge supporter of mine and everything that I've been through and what I'm trying to do now. And that's work with other former professional athletes, who are dealing with substance abuse and mental health issues. But the book has done really good. I started it as a project to kind of help my family heal through my addiction and what I put them through. And that's all I really wanted it to accomplish. I just wanted everybody in my family to have a platform in it and to just kind of share what they went through. And little did I know that it would be so popular. People have loved the book. The reviews have been great. You can find it at offcenterthebook.com, or you can just go on Amazon and look it up. You know, you can do it in Kindle form. You can do it in paperback form. And, you know, it's just, it's been a real journey just being a published author, you know?
I applaud you. It only, you know, I'm from Iowa. We do things slowly. It only took me about a year and a half to finish the read. I did my Cliff Notes version several times, but I applaud you, man. It is an excellent read for anyone, just on life and overcoming and family and friends. And it just happens to have a hell of a football player at the forefront of the topic. But yeah, a great read and a great project, man.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And had I known that you were struggling with the read, then I would have come out with an audio version for you, Mike.
All right. Yeah. The way my vision's going, you'd have to get Braille, too. It's a bitch getting old. All right. The king of the beach, you and your lovely bride down there. I love those pictures. I have now left Sunset Beach. You never came over to visit me at Caddy's, but you're going to come down here and visit me and take a few swings on our full swing simulators. We'll have you
buried up sometime. I'd love to take on Barry Smith, too. I think that's one challenge, son. With two bad knees.
The challenge is on Barry Smith against Randy Grimes. We'll get that set up. Maybe we'll get a little charity involved. All right, my man. Tell your lovely bride hello. Enjoy your birthday. Hey, your age, and you're younger than me. Your age, you get a birthday week, birthday month. You get whatever what the hell you want, man.
That's right. I'm milking it for all I can right now.
All right. He's Randy Grimes. Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you when you get back home.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. All right. Randy Grimes, great conversation. Ben, now it's time to bring Alex Reba into the conversation. He does some analytics across the street. Of course, at 4:10 today, it's Orioles and the Rays with a series tied at one apiece. And Alex, thanks for stopping over. I mean, I know it's a long commute. Appreciate you doing that. What is it, 450 steps from next door?
Yeah, I got to get those steps in. You know, it's quite a walkover, but glad to be here, Mike. It's a big series.
Okay, Ben.
The most important series right now.
All right, so Ben's got some thoughts on it, and you've got some thoughts. So we got 15 minutes. Let's break down how we get to the World Series in 2023 based on what you're seeing right now out of these Tampa Bay Rays.
Ben, do you want to start with your thoughts?
I am frightened. I am.
You should have heard the opening.
I am hitting the panic button.
Great. I'm actually so glad he's exactly like the worst segment of the Rays fan base right now.
I know.
Okay. Very happy to be able to be the contrarian view
that 29-7 start season.
It's not
Tampa has had a sub 500 record since that 29-7 start. That's not good, especially when you have teams like the Orioles who they haven't lost a series, I think, or they haven't been swept in a series in like 70 of them. It's some crazy number. And you have the Blue Jays who are also a sleeping giant, someone that's ready to come in there. We have a lot of obstacles ahead of us, and I'm worried about how it is in the clubhouse. I don't know if Kevin Cash can control those guys. You have guys where, I mean, it was cute and it was funny all season long where, you know, we see Randy hitting the pose or Franco's in the seats. Yeah, Franco flips the ball to himself. You know, they're doing stuff that's attracting eyes, that's getting people in the seats. But you know what? It's not winning ball games anymore. Randy Arozarena had one of the longest swings I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And then he goes to the home run derby, almost wins it. Congratulations. But now he goes 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts the other day. And this has been something that's been going on this whole season. I am very frightened about what is to come for this team.
Correct him. Would you, Alex, please?
Okay. So first of all, it's insane to be frightened about a team that's in first place in the AL East, toughest division in Major League Baseball, and second, still in first place currently in Major League Baseball in wins, now second behind the Braves, but in the American League. Again, an incredibly difficult division of baseball. So, there are so many ways you can look at the numbers and either concern yourself about the state of the Rays season or be very confident about the state of the Rays season. I was like you whenever I started to see the losses mount up. I went back to when Wander Franco was suspended for 2 games for disciplinary reasons by Kevin Cash. And since that game, it was on Thursday, June 23rd, since going into that game against Kansas City Royals, the Rays are 9-15. And that felt like a little bit of a linchpin in the Rays' most recent struggles. It was a point in where their star player, their young 10-year, $100 million man, was sent to the bench for 2 games for disciplinary reasons. We lost Shane McClanahan that game to back tightness. From that point, we lost series to the Diamondbacks. We got swept by the Phillies. We got 2 out of 3 losses to the Braves. We've lost out 1 game against the Orioles, and we got swept by the Rangers. Now, what about all those teams is in common?
They're a good team.
They're all playoff teams.
Playoff teams.
They are all playoff teams. Now, is it concerning to be losing games to playoff teams? Yes. But is it July? Yes. Okay. Has the trade deadline passed? No. Is this team still capable of getting better from their first place spot? Yes. Are they going to get healthier, hopefully? Yes. We're going to get potentially Andrew Kittredge back.
There is hope in the world.
There's so many things about this team that we still are going to see play out, that hitting the panic button is one of the most ridiculous things I think you can do.
I believe, I love sitting, listening to you talk. I understand you understand the analytics enough of it to know that the Shohei Ohtani deal, forget it. No. Even Eric Neander yesterday says, look, here's the thing.
For 2 months of a guy, we're not going to give up our entire future.
Yeah.
Rays especially.
But to work back in the World Series, it's all worth it.
Well, to what Ben was saying, let me ask you this, because you're inside. You know a little bit more than we do. Could this Rays team go out and get an older veteran-type player, even if it's a fielder with a bat, to become a leader for a team? Because, Ben, you talked about it, Really, the thing we're worried about is this 2023 Rays team. We don't have that leader yet, or it's leaders, and that's what we need to see happen.
That was one of the other things I want to talk about. First of all, I have no idea what Eric Neander in that front office is going to do. I'm just as outside of that as you guys are. I'm just seeing more of the analytics on the pitch rates than you might be. But I just want to get that out there so I don't lose my job when they think I'm speaking for the Rays organization. I hope they do what's best for this ball club, and I support them in every essence. I have no input in that. But if I did have input in it, I would say, yes, I would like them to go get a veteran, maybe a bat that can give them a veteran leadership experience. It was one of the things that I noticed on the first at-bat of the Orioles game in game one of this series. Jose Siri goes down striking out in a really bad strikeout, which we've seen many times this season from him. He has, I think, 50 hits on the season. 20 of those are home runs.
Blowing away, though, he can't. Blowing away. And he can't
make every time he doesn't make contact, it's a pretty brutal watch. But he makes up for it with his speed, with his defense. But,
and he
brings a lot of flavor to the team, a lot of flair, which I think it's important in this ball club, because this team, something that also I think a lot of people forget, is this team has a lot of different nationalities in it. They have a number of Dominican players. They have a number
like the United Nations.
They have a Colombian player in Harold Ramirez, Panamanian Christian Bethencourt.
They need a Japanese player, Shohei Ohtani.
That would compete. That we'd have the United Nations. Ben is right. The man's right.
They would. Well, we used to have G-Man, who was a Korean. So, I mean,
Yandy at first place. Let me ask you something. How was it the game last night? Great game. I always want to make it a thing because a man can do whatever he wants to. But ever since the extensions went in with Siri, I don't think I saw him last night. Are they gone?
No, he still has the extensions. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, he's a dog. He's gonna find.
That's an important fact.
He noticed it.
I saw on Twitter they were like, ever since Siri got the extensions, things haven't been the same either. So, well, I mean, we just got so much going on. Yandy just became a new father. Like the All Star break.
LIFE.
Really, congratulations by the way to Yandy and little Yandy. Little Yandy, who is by the way over 9 pounds, 20 inches long.
That's definitely his son.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things going on with this team. We're far away from the playoffs. Everyone wants to say this is the biggest series of the season. It is. Yeah. This is a matchup between the top two ALS teams. It's July. It is July. There is so much baseball to play. We just hit the 100 game mark. There are still 62 games to go from there. I think we're at 60 now.
You want to go on the upside down? We're coasting the very two best teams in the American League across the street there, and none of them are from Boston or from New York. That's crazy. That's the Baltimore
for us. Yeah, that's why I think this is a really unique season, and that we haven't seen some of these teams succeed in the way that they have. And there's going to be a lot of movement. I'm sure Philly fans have been trying to push the panic button on their team all season. They come into
they do after the second game.
Yeah, they sweep us. They go on a 9-game road game win streak. They get Bryce Harper back. So things change on a dime. As long as we maintain a race against the Orioles at the top of the division, I think we will be fine. I think there is definitely a lot of credence to the rumors that the Rays are looking at options like Michael Lorenzen, a potential starter that they could strengthen their rotation going into the All-Star break or the trade deadline. They're throwing around names like Lucas Giolito, rental options like that, that I'm sure a lot of Rays fans would get really excited about. I don't know what they're going to do. I know they're going to look to leverage their future as minimal as possible because they have such good prospects.
It's the Rays way.
They're not going to just deal Curtis Meade for you know, a 2-month rental that's going to maybe push them over the edge. Because I know a lot of Rays fans certainly felt burned whenever they gave up Joe Ryan to the Twins.
Right.
He becomes an elite ace. And we had Nelson Cruz, who barely did anything.
I'm going to flip your argument, though, because I get you, and it is the Rays way. And then Stu Sternberg always, I think, wrongly got accused of not spending money or going after being buyers at the deadline. But ask you serious, hands up, as a fan, not somebody so...
Yeah, as a fan, yeah.
If bringing Ohtani to Tampa Bay meant we capped it and got the 2023 World Series, if you could guarantee
it, then everyone would right. make that deal. I will always... As a sports fan, sell my soul for the single title. I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. We have one title in the history of the organization. You gotta do what you gotta do to get this title. Why you can't strike while the iron's hot. So the Bucks did it with Brady. They knew they weren't gonna have him for years. Obviously, it's a little different because it was a free agency signing. They didn't have to sell the future of the farm. But in baseball, it's the playoffs are a crapshoot. We don't always see the best team win. We usually see the team that has the most depth and the most money on their payroll, and the Dodgers and the Astros and all those things. But bringing Ohtani guarantees nothing. All it guarantees is that we have a significantly depleted farm system post him, and in 2 months, he probably signs elsewhere. He almost definitely signs elsewhere because he could be a $500 million contract, and we know the Rays aren't going to have the money for that.
Ben, has he converted you?
No. I'm going to ask you here. When do we panic? Is it fair to
panic? We panic when we're not in first place in the AL.
Hear me out. I think we should be panicking now because we still have an opportunity to do something. We still are, you know, pretty close up, you know, in first place.
What did you learn from interviewing the Scripps kid?
No,
stay in the moment.
Here,
win this series.
Yes, I am living in the moment right now because the trade deadline's quickly approaching, and we don't have the pitching. We don't have the hitting.
We don't have the pitching?
No,
we have Shane McClanahan, a Cy Young potential candidate. We have Tyler Glasnow also pitching.
We have 11 game winners right now.
Zach Eflin going after throwing 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk against the Baltimore Orioles.
7 innings shouldn't be impressive. That should be normal.
How many arms
that should be normal.
7 innings is normal.
It should be.
But here's your question. Ben.
What kind of level of excellence
I see what you're saying. I worked for fan photography for 3 years. I used to have to explain to everybody. We're first in the East until July, and there's 30 people because Toronto's in town. So I get the numbers. What Ben is saying is that at what point is it because of due to a lack of leadership? The Rays needed to fall from their perch and then attack like a dog. Now we're going to find out if this young team does have the gotcha to go up and take some dogs on the backside. And that is going to be how the Rays are going to stamp their second. I said this the other night. First half was record setting. Second half, they have to win the series against the Orioles and then take all 3 games from the Marlins just because they're in state and we don't like them.
That's when
I don't panic.
All I'm saying, we've had a sub-500 record ever since that 29-7. That's not good. And that's the trend that we're on right now. We're going downhill. I'm saying panic now before the Titanic sinks. We have an opportunity we have the trade deadline. We can do something about that. We have an opportunity right now to say, hey, the warning lights are going off. Let's bring in a pitcher.
You're still talking
about
bring
in a hitter.
Right.
No, just anyone. Okay, anyone in general. Because our pitching staff is almost never
healthy. All right, we got 5 minutes, guys. I'll give you each a couple of sentences. Go ahead, Alex. No, we'll go 3 and I'll finish with Alex.
Uh, Every manager in baseball, you don't think that all these teams stepped up and they were ready to give them their farm, their neighbor's farm, their neighbor's neighbor's farms, and some farms up in northern New York because their family owns it. All of a sudden, I thought, step back and say, really, how much are you going to mortgage your soul for an Ohtani? Also, bring him in for just 2 months and then he's gone again. How much of the future are you ready to? And I said that market will come back. And the only way, Ben, that I see the Rays getting Ohtani, if the market comes back so much, that Eric Neander. But here's the thing, guys, and this is off. I'll stop with this. What team behind Ohtani, even if they're at greater and top of their division, could they fall in the shadow when it gets there? Because the media is going to vamp.
I could care less if the Rays bring in Ohtani or not. I think he's the answer. I don't think, in all reality, probably not going to happen. But there's a possibility. All I'm saying is we need to do something, and we need to do something quick. Because if we don't win the World Series this year, the season is a loss. I don't even know if there's words to describe the feelings I would have. Blow up the concrete palace right behind us.
All right.
Get rid of it. It's gone. If we don't win.
2 minutes and then we're done.
Can we edit that?
I just think, okay, first of all, the Angels aren't even going to trade Ohtani because they're now four games out of the wild card. I think it would be dumb and I know their owner does not want to be the guy that traded the greatest baseball player of all time, arguably. So I don't see an Ohtani.
Down the road.
I don't think Ohtani gets dealt. Second, I agree. I'd love to see the Rays get a little aggressive, make a move. You don't have to part ways with your entire future to get a guy that's a rental arm, get a rental bat. I agree. This team lacks a leadership option like they had in Kevin Kiermaier for so many years. I miss him. I miss guys that brought fun to the clubhouse like Brett Myers.
I miss Kevin Kiermaier. But
I think they need a guy like that that can lead this team because they do have a lot of young guys like Wander Franco that are in their 20s. Isaac Paredes is also in his like young 20s. I mean, people forget how young this team is, and I do think a veteran could potentially come into the clubhouse and lead this team. But at the end of the day, my sticking point needs to be we're number one in the AL East. We're playing really good teams. We're not getting swept each game. We still have four all-stars. This team is gritty. They're fun. It's the dog days of summer. They're going to get through it, and they're going to make the playoffs. And then from there, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, gentlemen, that was a great roundtable. Ben Botham, of course, Alex Reba, Ray Kennedy. I certainly I enjoy that. And we had varied opinions on what's going to take place. I do know what's going to take place. It's a 4-10 first pitch. It is the series is all even at 1. And, of course, tomorrow, 1:40 first pitch as the Orioles and the Rays do battle. We've been blessed with a unique show, Ben Botham, with our conversation with our man, Dev Shaw, who's kind of the coolest 14-year-old I've ever met.
He was a cool guy. Mike.
Cool and calm. And what a great topic. And then his pops brought in a little of the world of cricket and croquet. I think I'm going to get a croquet set, and you're going to play croquet with me.
Is that the one with the little, you hit the little ball?
Jeez Louise, you don't know anything about croquet. It's a world-played game, my man. Huh? It's a backyard. Throw some coldies down. Have a dog. Play some croquet.
Maybe I play it. You're
deprived as a young man. You never got to play.
You were probably playing lawn darts, man. I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, great show, guys. Great talking to Randy Grimes, our good buddy. So for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, John Walsh, David Wilson, Josh Wilson, Dan Laporte, Randy Grimes, Dev Shaw, and his dad, Delva Shaw, of course, Ray Kennedy, Joe Bedreau, Matt on the controls, my main man, Alex, over there. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship weekend.